Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another episode of The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone from the literary world. My guest today is Shah Pirali, and I do hope I didn't murder his name. He has just published a rather unique novella, The Immigration Lawyer, Asylum. Shah, welcome to the program. I'll try that again. Shah, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, Simon. Thank you for welcoming me on the show today, and thank you to all the listeners today, and good afternoon.
Before we get to the book, I was hoping that you might introduce yourself. As I understand it, you're from Mauritius, and, you know, with most kids not being able to even find Canada on a map. Where is Mauritius?
Well, that's a very good question. The island of Mauritius is located off the coast of Madagascar. It's a very beautiful tropical island, actually, and Mark Twain has described it as God created Mauritius first and made a copy and made paradise. And Mauritius is an amazing country, one of the most educated countries in Africa, highest literacy level, very clean country. I'm not here to kind of brag about Mauritius, but it's a beautiful island. And it's a 1 million population, tropical, independent government, democratic. And Mauritius, for those who probably people don't know about Mauritius, but they know about the dodo bird. The only place in the world which had the dodo bird was Mauritius.
And how did you come to move to the U.S., and how did you come to be a lawyer?
Well, that's a very interesting story. First of all, I come from a very modest family, struggling always. I call myself pretty much a street kid. I had to survive since I'm 16 years old, and I ended up in America really on a dare. My goal was to go to England to study law, and I wanted to come and see America, and I found out that I could go to law school here, and that's how it started almost 20 years ago, and got into law school and became a lawyer, and then focused. During the time I was in law school, I kind of, unfortunately, we had the unfortunate situations of September 11. And being also a Muslim in the community, most people were having problems, so they came to me. And so I started focusing on the immigration law side because of the issues that actually described in the fiction that I wrote. And ultimately, that's how it started. I started the law firm, and now we have almost 12 people working, and we're doing very well. And we focused on immigration law. That's pretty much kind of a quick summary of my career. It was amazing because I pretty much did everything in my life, from door-to-door salesman to carpenter, cooked in a restaurant, and now a lawyer.
It certainly sounds like you've tried a number of different areas. Let's talk about the book, The Immigration Lawyer. Would you care to give us a synopsis of it?
Well, The Immigration Lawyer is from. It's a series. There's a few. I'm planning to. There's a second book coming out soon too, but it's a series, and the first episode is Asylum. The story has been. I was inspired by the story based on a real case I've done. Even if it's a fiction, which I've been changed completely, but not completely, but the gist of the story is based on people from the Middle East coming to the United States after September 11, and what would be happening to many of them at the airport. Even they didn't have anything wrong, they had valid visas to enter the United States and their treatment. And the story focuses on really kind of the civil rights lawyers, especially immigration lawyers who fought for those kind of cases. I was one of them during that time, and the story is of Ahmad, a fictional character who was coming from Iraq and was apprehended at the airport and sent to a maximum security prison. And from there, they couldn't really charge him of terrorism because there was no real case, so they attacked his immigration situation. And the fact that he couldn't go back because of the situations that what was happening in Iraq, so he could they put him in deportation in an immigration court. And this is where the story becomes interesting, because it describes, I have described in that book how an immigration court works, which most people don't know, and the real process. Even, like I said, it's a fiction. And from there, the fight starts, and people will have to read the book to find the end, how it ends. But it's very descriptive of the law to that fiction. What I've done, I've been able to include and explain many concepts and of the law, including the U visas, which are given to people for victims of crimes, the marriage petitions, etc., in a very kind of interesting and entertaining way.
So, pretty much, this is a realistic scenario, even though it's fiction.
Yes, actually, unfortunately, Simon, the reality is a lot harsher. Oftentimes, many people don't get out of it, but in this case, since it was inspired by a story, one of the cases I won, it took me actually 8 years to win, but I won the case. Yes, it is based on kind of realistic situations, which is happening still right now. I'm sorry.
I think it's fair to say that most people do view the immigration system as broken. Washington, D.C. Seems to have little interest in tackling it. Yeah, there's lots of huffing and puffing, but no action. Is there a way forward?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's a $1 million question, unfortunately. The truth, from my point of view, I don't think the system is completely broken, to be honest. The system works if the application of the law was given a fair chance. The law itself, if people will read the book, they will see the law itself is pretty fair. Well, the problem that we are facing is there is a too much power, discretionary power, that is given sometimes at a lower level, where mistakes are made and wrong decisions are made based on someone's idea how to interpret that law. And those people are not lawyers, really. They just interpret it according to some memos. The way the immigration law works is not really like a real judicial system where people have a real chance of a fair trial, to be honest, unfortunately. It's mostly the application that is causing the problems. But, of course, there are bigger issues of immigrants who are here, but that's not really kind of the subject of the book. But I think there should be some changes. The change should be more oversight and less paperwork, and also a chance for people to prove their cases instead of having to go to court to prove it. Just to give you an example, for example, I have a case right now I'm fighting where just due to a mistake at a lower level, the person is placed in deportation. And because of the procedure, that person is stuck because of the answers he gave at the lower level. And even the judge is seeing this is very unfair, because it should not have gone to the court. The case could have been solved at a lower level. And now the judge is stuck. Even the judge is kind of stuck. It's kind of a little bit complicated to decide on the case. But the truth is costing the government for deportation like that almost $25,000. And had they sent the case back, it would have cost maybe $1,000 to fix it. So this is the problem that we're having. A lot of money are being spent the wrongful way while we are focusing on illegal immigration and things like that. There's a huge population which is sitting there who are legal immigrants, but unfortunately they are not getting a chance to really prove their cases, and they're stuck in a court system which is taking almost sometimes 5 years to clear. Like this example, the one we used in the book, the inspiration, what inspired me to write the book, it took me 8 years to win a case which was not, there was no reason to complicate that case, but just based on a suspicion and could not be proven at all. It took us so many years. So the system is broken, but at the same time, there are good things in the system that should be kept. For example, the VAWA, Violence Against Women Act, which protects people of domestic violence. The U visa, people who are victims of crimes. The T visa, people who are basically brought as slaves. And I've handled so many of those cases. So the system has some good tools. The problem is the application of it, which is causing problems because too much discretionary power is being given at the lower level.
One of the things that you mentioned was the U visa. How about the H-1 visa? I see a big problem there. You know, we want bright young people to come to the country, but we don't seem to want to keep them around.
That's true. That's so true. I handle most of my practice is for people on H-1 and doctors, scientists, engineers. Those people are the bright of the brightest. If you see the kind of things they have done, and for example, people of extraordinary abilities, clients I have, they invent things. You will be surprised. Many of the things we use on a daily basis have been invented by those people. I say almost 70% of the patents are held by them. They come here, especially if they're coming from India, which is a big problem. There is a backlog in the application. So that means for them to get a green card, most of them, is taking between 10 years to 70 years. So they might be dead by the time they get a green card.
Right.
So we need those people. There's no way. The H-1B has been there, by the way, Simon, in the 1950s. It's not a new program. It's been there. The question is how the government is looking at it is we are focusing so much on talking about illegal immigration when we are ignoring it, the proportion which is really which is really important to this country, those talents. And the Silicon Valley where I am located in will not function without those people. And no matter how much people are upset, they don't like immigrants, you can turn around every big company will have most of their engineers are on this visa. So I think this is another thing that they should consider in their approach to immigration reform is to increase that. And, of course, don't allow fraud. There is a lot of fraud, too. But if the government has a good system in place and understand the nature, really, of what's happening in the business world, we can do very well because all those talents want to come here. They have so many ideas. And you name it, Google, et cetera, all of are from those people who came on H-1Bs. So we need to give a chance, L visas, H visas, of course, contain the fraud. But the problem is that by trying to contain the fraud the way they are doing, actually they are discouraging people from coming here, good people, and some are moving to Canada. Australia right now is doing very well because of this. They're giving a chance to all those engineers. So we're going to end up by losing talents, and new ideas are going to get lost because it doesn't seem right now we're generating new ideas from the U.S. So we need those talents in. And we need to give them a chance to stay in this country after they are done, not kick them out, because once they go, they will take also their knowledge with them, and we lose so much. And most studies have shown that H-1B generate a lot more work and income than most other visas. So it's kind of a cash 22 situation we are in right now, Simon. There is a lot of noise about illegal immigration, so they are putting everybody in one bag and say, oh, they're all bad. Even that's a different issue, but they are not looking into the real what is happening in America, where we need talent. So it's I would like to see H-1B increase and giving a chance to more talents who can really help the country bring back the economy up. But until the government understands that, we can't do much.
I can't. I'm not an immigration expert, but there's a class of visa for students, isn't there?
Yeah.
All right. Is that an O visa or something like that?
There's F visas. The F. You pretty much have a visa for every alphabet. Starting from A
right.
for diplomats, go on and on, B for visitors, C for crew, D and then E for investors, etc. But the F visa, like Frank, is for student visas. And this is another issue which is kind of a little bit tricky, because the student visa is one of the big money maker for the United States. And unfortunately, it's little bit less strict sometimes, depending on the country where you're coming from and the school you're going to. It gives an opportunity because at the beginning, after you complete your studies, you can get a work permit after that and get a chance. If a company hires you, you go on H-1B. But I have seen my share of problems on the student visa. Actually, I was in 2011, there was a huge scandal because of the student visas, and I was fighting for all the students at the forefront. Almost 500 of them I was fighting for, and they pretty much kind of tried to take those visas from 2,000 students who were here because the school was committing fraud. So instead of going after the school, they just went ahead after the students. So it's a very famous case, actually. It's criminal matter is still going on. It's the Tri Valley University in California. But the student visa, we can actually improve that. But so far, I think the system is okay, except the service system, which is not something I really like. But what can we do? We have to work with what we got.
Right. The law is what it is. I'm sure you'd be the first to say it's not perfect, but
yes,
you know, that's the framework. I want to do something absolutely shameless, a commercial. Where can people buy books? Or find copies of The Immigration Lawyer. Are you on Amazon and all of those neat places?
Yes, it is on Amazon, actually. And today is the last day. If you're on Kindle, it's free. They put it for free for 5 days. Today is the last day. So it's a chance for people to download it. And they can buy the paper bag also on Amazon.com. The title is The Immigration Lawyer, Asylum. And it will pop up probably among, right now it's doing very well. I think we have, in 1 week, we have sold almost 1,000 copies. So it went really fast. People liking it because of the fact that it's entertaining and at the same time it's very instructive how the system works in simple terms. I kept it as short as I could so that people don't get bored with it, but at least I was able to convey the message how the system works. So Amazon.com, I think Barnes & Noble have the paperback, and Kindle, and also an audio version coming out. It's already being uploaded. We're waiting for the approval with Audible.com. The audio version is amazing too. And people will have that probably on iTunes also is coming up. So They can check one of my websites, actually, and either my main website, which is they can just type pc.com, which is my law firm website, or my personal, shahperali.com, shahperali.com.
I rather like the book, and I rather like the line art that was used. Who did the drawings? Was that you?
Well, these drawings are credited to my good friend Joe. By the way, Simon, I have a kind of a team for the production. We also make movies, very good movies. They are free on YouTube also, on my YouTube channel. My director is also an illustrator. So he's the one, Joe Barcelon. He's the one who helped me, and my photographer, Renato. He's also my cinematographer, Renato Ascension. It's more like a family kind of team, and we put this together mostly to convey the message, and Joe did some very good drawings on this.
Okay. You've mentioned YouTube, and I'm going to be going looking. Where can you be found?
Well, my YouTube channel is youtube.com/Pirali Law, my office YouTube, PeeRalLyLaw. And actually, if people type immigration interview, it will pop up. My videos are the first on YouTube. It has been ranked first for a while now because we have done reenactment of immigration interviews. We even did a movie called The Immigration Fraud, and where we have shown where people commit fraud, what happens to them. And another one which kind of very, very close to my heart is the movie Shattered Freedom, which is based on domestic violence and immigration law. And also the second part of the movie kind of opens the story of Ahmed, which is a book that has been finalized now. So it's all kind of interrelated. Most of my work is projected for free on YouTube because the goal is to help the community. And people should check it out, youtube.com/Pirali Law. P like Peter, elephant, R-A-L-L-Y-L-A-W.
My next question is redundant. Why did you write it? But I'm pretty certain you just answered that question.
Well, there might be another answer also, Simon, for me. I was just discussing with my wife about this, by the way, which to whom I dedicate this book, Ella, and my children. Sarah is the lawyer that I have created, is my daughter, and Abel is the reporter in the book, is my son. And one of the things that with me is I have so many of these cases. So far, I've handled almost 3,000 cases as a lawyer. And it stays with me. And unfortunately, because of confidentiality, many of these cases, I cannot give too much detail. So I have so much information in my head that I wanted to kind of explain that to other people, how the system works. So one way to kind of get it out were those movies. And now the book is, it's kind of a therapy also for me somehow. because there's so much information contained in me, seeing so much hardship and difficulties of many people and hearing the stories. I have heard stories from people pretty much like beaten up to death, rape, gang rape. I have seen people who are brought in a container, kept as slaves for 2 years in the U.S., and all those stories, you know, at one point it starts taking a toll on you as a person. So writing those books kind of helped me and helped the community to understand the system. So it's kind of a two-way. The reason is not really commercial. It's mostly my law firm is doing very well. It's mostly for myself because I wanted to tell people out there what is happening.
Oh, you know, To be honest with you, I think what's happening is horrible.
Yes.
You know, I look at you know, Arizona and Sheriff Joe Arpaio, you know, he just makes my stomach churn.
Yeah, but there will always be people like that, right?
Right. America is a country made of immigrants. And quite honestly, we didn't treat original people very well.
That's but, true.
But, I look at Arizona and I just roll my eyes. I mean, I was glad to see that Jim Brewer vetoed the bill against gays, although it was basically a bill against everyone that wasn't of the right color, creed.
Yes, true.
Yeah, I mean, it appalled me. It appalled me that a state could even come up with this idea. I'm sure that crossed your mind.
Oh, actually, when Arizona law was the bill, I think it was 1170 or something like that. I forget the 1070 came out. I put a YouTube video. Actually, it's on my YouTube, still there. And I say we got to fight this. It was almost, I think it was in 2010 or 2009, actually, they were proposing it. And the first reaction I got, people say, you turds, go back home. Some people will write to me and threaten me and things like that when I put the press release on that. But the truth is, that's one idea that is incorporated in the book. There is a group of people who are very anti-immigration, blaming every single problem of this country on immigration. I think it's maybe psychological. People feel like they have to blame an outsider, and immigrants are the easy target. And as much as, of course, I am an immigrant, I'm pretty, I can see right there, I am, if I was in this country, 12 people will have no jobs, more than 12 people probably, because if I add my other companies. So it's not the problem that Arizona is having. The Joe Arpaio is basically, unfortunately, I should quote and quote, is preying on the fear of people, and he's getting a lot of money in his campaigns. And Arizona is the one losing, because all the cost that this is costing Arizona so much, and actually now the racial profiling issue is becoming a big thing, because the Supreme Court agreed on the law but doesn't agree on the racial profiling part. So now basically the application of the law is almost impossible. Same problem that we're having with the general immigration law. Application of it is becoming so difficult. It is appalling, but unfortunately it is there. And instead of people realizing that we should live together as human beings and fight for the common good, some people just divide and rule, and they think that's how they get their kick or whatever we can call it. But I am more into the thinking of we all together, one humanity, everybody support each other. We will do well. We have enough here to share with everybody, and we can make more by sharing instead of just trying to take and think we're going to get more. At the end of the day, Arizona is a loser in this, unfortunately. I have to tell the truth. Economically, all the statistics are proving Arizona is losing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I lost you there for a moment.
No, that's okay. I was just saying, Simon, that Arizona is losing economically on this battle, because they think that by cutting the immigrants off, it would have made them more economically powerful. But the truth is that they are being boycotted. Plus, at the end of the day, not only they are being boycotted, they are losing in terms of cost, and all the immigrants who were there, who were buying and selling, are gone. So that means a huge proportion of the income which they could have made is getting lost. And the cost of enforcing their own laws is costing so much in Arizona that I don't know how they were going to sustain it. And at the end of the day, it's just for the only person who came out winning this is probably Arpaio, because he's getting a lot of money for his campaign. That's all.
Right. I am in absolute agreement with you. You mentioned guns, and even though this is way outside of the scope of a book review, I have to ask you, what are your views on, current gun control laws?
Well, the truth is that, Simon, I'm kind of divided on this. I grew up, my father was a police officer, so I pretty much know what are guns. He never let us use it. I don't have any problem people owning guns, to be honest. But at the same time, I think if we... The reason it was mentioned in this book is actually this is what is interesting. When I wrote this book, this thing didn't really happen. And it actually happened after that. There was an attack in Wisconsin on a Sikh temple. And the readiness of the guy to attack this was one of the things that was mentioned is the fact that he had quick access to an assault rifle, where he ended up by killing 8 people, including one police officer. And this is where the issue came up. But the truth is, I am not pro or against it, but I think we should actually have some rules. Some people cannot have guns. It's just like giving a kid a some kind of dangerous weapon, and you have to know how to use it. You cannot just give certain things to people who don't think properly, because at the end of the day, they will not hesitate to do something wrong with it. But at the same time, I think the Second Amendment, I'm still kind of questioning myself on that. Was it built for that, or was it built for defending the country? But I really kind of don't have a strong position on it, except I feel that there should be some control, but at the same time, this is America. People like their guns, so we need to figure out a compromise there, and I don't know the answer, unfortunately.
You dodged the question.
Well, I didn't dodge it, because these are my feelings, to be honest, because the truth is I like guns. I like to go shooting places and stuff like that. I don't own one. But at the same time, I think it's a weapon, and I am more a pacifist. I believe in love than war. So I don't see people who should have a lot of guns, especially when you see some people have a whole stack of a room with guns, and what are they going to do with all this? They end up by hurting their own kids, their wives, their children, or themselves, or the spouse, the wife hitting the husband with it. So I don't think there should be some control. Let's put it simple. But at the same time, it has to be a control. We have to control the control, too.
We're almost completely out of time. I would like to ask you for your final thoughts.
Well, first of all, Simon, it was an immense pleasure to be on the show with you. I host a law show myself on EM radio, and I'm really, it's very nice to not be basically be interviewed. And my final thought on the situation is mostly talking about the book. This book is very interesting on the fact that it is short. It's not a long book, but the information in it illustrated with a fiction where we have put a kind of explain in simple terms how the system works, and also the fact that people don't know what has been happening post September 11 to many people from the Middle East and their feelings. I have tried to include that in that book, and I hope people will read it. I will hope to get very genuine and honest comments on it. And again, it's available today. It's free on Kindle on Amazon.com. Just type the immigration lawyer asylum, And I wanted to thank you, Simon, for giving me an opportunity to talk to you today. And let's hope that with those books, we will be able to kind of educate people to understand the cultures in a better way and give them a chance to understand immigration law, which is one of the most complicated areas of law in the United States.
Char, I can honestly say this has been a great pleasure.
Thank you.
And I do wish you every success in the future. If you happen to come up with another book, please let me know because I want to read it.
Thank you. Well, I'm working on the next one, which is kind of the student visa that we were talking about earlier and the tribal university situation. So hopefully that will be out in the next maybe 6 months.
Perfect. Okay.
Thank you.
My producer is squawking in my ear. You know, kill it now, kill it now. And so
yes.
I unfortunately have to cut our conversation short. Char, I want to thank you. And truly, truly, I do wish you every success. And
thank you.
Hope that you will keep in touch.
Definitely. Thank you very much, Simon. Thank you to all the listeners. And thank you to your producer. And I hope to see to hear from you soon. Thank you.
Okay. Until next time, this is Simon Barrett saying goodbye. Have a healthy, happy, and safe week. We'll be back again soon. Till next time, bye.
Bye.